You're listening to Alaska HomeWise, brought to you by the Cold Climate Housing Research Center and the UAF Cooperative Extension Service. Save energy. Save money. Become HomeWise.
Hello and welcome to Alaska HomeWise, brought to you by the Cold Climate Housing Research Center and the UAF Cooperative Extension Service. I'm Ty Keltner. On Alaska HomeWise today, we are talking about solar panels and solar power. Do solar panels work in Alaska? Is solar energy a viable way to power your home? We'll discuss that today with our guest, Bruno Gruneau. Am I getting that right, Bruno?
Mm-hmm. You got it.
All right. He is from Remote Power, and how are you doing today?
Doing great. Excited to be here.
First, tell me a little bit about how solar panels work. I know that they gather energy through the light of the sun, but the process is a lot more complicated than that. Tell me, how does that work?
We should differentiate between photovoltaics and solar thermal systems. Generally, people can confuse them pretty easily. Solar thermal systems basically collect the heat from the sun or from the sun's radiation, and that heat is transferred to some sort of fluid, usually water, and maybe used to heat your domestic hot water. Whereby solar electric systems or photovoltaic systems basically convert the sun's energy into electricity, and that's specifically what I'm going to be talking about today. So the solar panels basically are made of a semiconductor material. It's usually a crystalline silicon. Usually this silicon is sandwiched between a protective layer like a tempered glass, and maybe on the backside it's got some sort of polymer to keep moisture out. But in between, there's basically two specially treated layers of silicon. They are specially treated such that the top layer is, top layer being closest to the sun, usually has some circuitry kind of impregnated in it, and it's usually what they call doped. So that it's negative. And then the bottom side, which is the side furthest from the sun, is usually doped so that it's positive. So what happens when you face the sun? Photons come in, they rattle around the electrons. The electrons from the bottom layer move to the upper layer, and now you've got kind of a surplus of electrons. They want to go somewhere, and what do? They leave through like the copper wiring they've got in there, and of course electrons running through wires, what we call electricity. And so that's basically the bones of it.
So if I'm interested in putting up some solar technology, is this something I can do myself?
Well, you could certainly take a solar panel and a little DC motor and put a little fan on it and set it out in the sun. You got yourself a little solar-powered fan, right? And if you wanted to work when the sun went down, you could add a little battery to that, make it a little more complex, and charge that battery. And then when the sun goes down, you use the battery until it's used up to cool yourself with that fan. That's pretty much a middle school project, and you could definitely do that yourself. Now, when you get into bigger systems, you need to start taking care of your batteries if you've got a battery system, and you need to put in like a charge controller so that you don't overcharge or undercharge your batteries. And then you can increase your complexity by adding, say, an inverter. And you can build from there. Now, you know, this being Alaska and the home of the do-it-yourselfers, people tend to say, hey, I can do this. I read a neat article. I can, you know, go to the parts counter. I can get my solar panel, my solar controller, my batteries, and maybe an inverter, and they think, hey, I'm good to go. And a lot of times they get home, hook it up based on what the guy behind the counter told them, and they'll get power, you know, but maybe a year, 6 months, 3 months, maybe 3 years down the road, they may find out that, well, their batteries aren't being charged properly and their batteries are kaput, or they fried something, and basically they didn't design it as a system, and they run into troubles down the road. Really, if you're going to do something serious like home power, you really should consult a design professional, because it is a system. It should be designed as a system, not necessarily something you get from a parts counter.
Alaska is a very dark place in the winter. There's a lot of people out there who doubt whether solar panels are a viable option for this state. Do solar panels really work here in Alaska?
As far as amount of sun, you know, that we get in Alaska, we basically get the same amount as we do everywhere else in the world. We just get it lump summed in the summertime, right? And so I think a question that could be posed that may address people's concerns about solar power in Alaska is, where can we put the solar power that's generated so that it's not gone to waste? And if you're tied into the grid, that's, I'd say, the easiest answer. You know, in the summer, well, the grid produces power by burning, in this case, you know, oil, and they produce it. They're burning oil whether it's July or whether it's December. And so if we can offset the amount of power we're using by maybe putting photovoltaic power onto the grid, then that's that much less oil they got to burn. It doesn't matter whether it happens in the summertime or in the wintertime. Now, let's say, for instance, you lived off-grid. You know, when we produce that power from the PV array, it goes into our batteries. Generally, you size the battery so that whatever power you put in there, you're using within a day or a few days or something before you end up having to fill it with more energy from the sun. So it's not like you can bank it for the winter necessarily. Now, in Alaska, people who have solar PV systems who live off-grid, maybe 8 months out of the year, they can make it without turning on their generator very often, you know. But then, come December 21st, they're really, I don't know of anybody who's got such a big solar array that they don't have to turn on their generator because it gets dark and there's not much sun, and so...
Okay, so if I'm thinking of installing solar panels on my home or somewhere on my property, what things do I need to think about before I begin?
Things to think about before you begin. I'd say think about your proximity to the power grid. Think about the cost of electricity, maybe financial incentives. This really, PV should be looked at as an investment. You know, you don't want to say necessarily that, hey, I can figure out my payback, and my payback's going to be in X number of years. It's kind of like, well, it's almost like a stock. You know, you don't know what the price of oil is going to do, so you really don't know what your payback is going to be, whether it's going to be 5 years or 20 years. You know, but so those are the financial incentives. The biggest thing would be, I'd say, shade. You know, go out to your property. For one, if you have south-facing exposure, if you're living on the north side. In Gulf, in Gold Stream, you know, you probably, unless you can see the sun, it may not be the best place for it. Second thing is, you know, look around what's between the sun and your solar panel throughout the day, and whatever's there, you may want to get rid of it if you want to maximize the power you're making. Also, snow and leaves. You know, we have this white stuff that comes down and covers our arrays, so, you know, think about how you can handle that. And what we like to suggest is, tilt the angle to around 49 degrees in the non-snow months, and then when it's snowing, kick it at 90 degrees so it sheds snow and captures the low sun angle.
That's something I wanted to ask, is we get a lot of snow here as well. Do you have to clean off these panels on a regular basis?
Well, you need to make sure there's no snow so that the panels can see the sunlight. However, if you orient them so that they're vertical when it's the snow months, then generally, the snow can't collect, but if it's collecting because of the atmospheric conditions, it'd be a good idea to get up there and brush that off.
Tell me a little bit about the costs. I know you mentioned payback, and these systems can be fairly spendy, well, depending on what you want to spend, I guess, but tell me some of the cost factors involved in this.
For the sake of discussion, let's just assume we're talking about a batteryless, grid-tied system, which is pretty common up here. We happen to be pretty fortunate here in that we have something called the Sustainable National Alternative Power Program, SNAP program, that GVA offers us. And pretty much the way this works is when we pay our bill to GVA, we can pay, you know, or however many dollars to GVA, and we take an extra $5, $20, $100, or whatever, and put it into the SNAP fund. At the end of the year, the SNAP fund pool is divided among people who have produced renewable power and sent it to the grid. So and it's divided accordingly based on how much you produce. So that being the case, we've got – that's where you can get some return on your money, you know, between that and the avoided cost from GVA. That's where you're looking at. You're getting some of your payback. The cost for a system, I'd say between $10 and $12 a watt for an installed system. So what we've seen in Fairbanks, the average, like, 2-kilowatt system that's a grid tie SNAP system runs around, I'll say, $22,000 or something. Now, keep in mind that there's a federal tax credit good till 2016 where you can write off 30%. And then there's some, as a business, you get the 30%, and then there's some fancy accelerated depreciation you can do where in the end you're kind of basically paying 50 cents on the dollar for your system after that first year.
Where can people go if they want more information about solar panels or solar power?
There are a lot of resources out there. There's the National Renewable Energy Laboratories, NREL. They're chock full of good information. You know, you can read a lot of general public information on the web or in magazines, but really, if you want to get serious and put solar on your house, then if you want to do it on your own, I would actually invest my time and maybe a little money into taking some of these classes through, like Solar Energy International, SEI. And if you don't want to do that, then definitely talk to and hire a professional.
Thank you very much, Bruno. Up next will be Ilya Benesh. He's our building and energy guru. We'll take your questions right after the break. You're listening to Alaska HomeWise.